Check it out. Listen up. Find out what it is all about.
Hello, this is Matthew Bronson. If you live in Placidus, you drive up and down 165 several times a week, if not several times a day. And right next to the Placidus Presbyterian Church is a building. It says Casa Rosa. You may not know what that is. That is a food pantry that serves over 50 households right here in Placidus every month. So for today on Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR Radio, Placidus, New Mexico, 99.9, we're going to be having a conversation with Cheryl Cloud and Jim Harris of the Casa Rosa Food Pantry right here in Placidus. So welcome to Conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
And did I get the name correct?
Yes.
It is Casa Rosa.
Casa Rosa Food Pantry.
Yes, Food Pantry. Okay.
And I would think since Placidus is a relatively old community, I've met people who've been here since the, I guess, 90s and 80s, I would assume a food pantry has been here also.
No, not quite. We've been here since 2008. So 7.5 years.
So that would beg the question, why then? What did people do before?
Well, for a while, there was an individual named Elsie who served a lot of people food out of her own home. And she was a member of our group, and she was our mother. And because she took care of the community before we came along, and she worked with us for quite a few years.
So her acquaintances, like yourself and Cheryl, said, Elsie, we need to make this bigger, or how did it grow?
It grew as an outreach of the Presbyterian Church. They also saw the need, and Elsie was a member of the church. So they officially got it started, but then we grew and became autonomous and take care of our own needs by having our own board and raising our own money and spending it. But we were right next to the church, and we certainly cooperate with them.
In addition to that, in the early days, we weren't associated with any food bank, and so we could be run and have a close association with the religious organization. When we met the requirements of and joined a food bank, which is Roadrunner Food Bank, there are all kinds of legal requirements about what you can and cannot do. So at that point, we changed our association with the church.
So, and what did the Casa Rosa Food Pantry gain by being associated with Roadrunner, and did you lose anything by having to have this barrier with the church?
No, we lost nothing, but what we gain is the capability of buying food through Roadrunner Food Bank at a discounted price and often in bulk quantity forms that we can then subdivide. And we also are able to get through the United States Department of Agriculture what were called commodities food, which are excess produce and other things that they need to get rid of, and that is at no cost to us. So that's very important that we can get those kind of foods at low or no costs.
Does Roadrunner Association also provide any kind of like management or advice on these are the types of foods that you want to have, or here's your demographic, we're going to lean it this way?
No, they don't get into that. They have regulations about how we're to run the food pantry to make sure of things like food safety and that we keep the kind of records that are needed. But they don't tell us what kind of foods.
Okay.
But we do have a substantial amount of oversight because we are associated at double arm's length with the federal government, which has all kinds of rules and regulations about the...
Really? The Fed has rules?
Yeah. About the serving food. And so we have substantial rules that we have to abide by, and they come by periodically and inspect our books and look at how many people we're distributing food to and how we're doing it. So we have substantial oversight.
Right. But even though you're not preparing food.
That's correct.
You're still kind of on the fringe of being a restaurant in a way. They want to have, food safety and the health department.
Yes, they have very detailed rules on food safety.
Right. So tell me a little bit more about the parent organization, Roadrunner. I assume it's not a associated with the Rapid Rail system. It's
no.
I mean, it's a like a consortium of food banks or
food pantries.
Food
yeah,
pantries?
They have partner food pantries, mostly in the middle to northern part of New Mexico. I don't know how many they have in total, but we're just one of many.
Okay,
like 150 or 180 agencies.
But it is a state.
No,
or,
it's
or
not.
Just, a, just
it's
happens not. To be that's where most of them are.
Well, that in the state of New Mexico, there are three of these food banks like Roadrunner, and they cover almost all of the state. There's a nationwide group of organizations like Roadrunner that handle this kind of activity over the whole nation, and Roadrunner is the biggest one in New Mexico, and it's
right.
It gets its money through all kinds of sources, including mostly donations. But much of their food is donated by grocery stores and donations from individuals.
Right.
And they buy food and they are given food. And
so it's kind of a typical business model. They're the parent corporation that's buying everything in bulk and making it available to their different franchisees in a way.
Correct.
With minimal just handling fees. So, well, then let's get to how does our Placidas Casa Rosa get funded?
Donations and some grants and organizations that also donate to us. We earn all the money that we use to buy food. We have no ongoing source except for individual donations and certain community groups that keep giving to us every year. And
right.
Then we sometimes go out and get some extra grants.
And that's one thing that's unique to Placidas, as far as I'm aware, and that is that we are an old community that has a substantial number of people who are very low income that have lived here for a long time. It's surrounded by a group of retirees who live in the extended Placidas area and have substantially higher income, most of whom are retired, and they are a very generous group. So our organization is in the envious position of having a very supportive community that puts their money where their mouth is, and so they're aware of what we do, they support what we do, they give us money, they give us food, and so we are in the envious position of being well-funded compared to others. But I don't want you to take that piece of information as a reason to stop giving.
Sure. Yeah. But you're right, Jim. And this is Conversation with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 Placidas, New Mexico. And we're having a conversation with Cheryl Cloud and Jim Harris of the Casa Rosa Food Pantry. Almost all of the organizations that I have the opportunity to speak with that require audience participation, our fellow people in Placidas, they all comment on how giving all the people are here. And it obviously plays through to the food bank. So I guess we can kind of pat ourselves on the back for being good guys.
50 to 60% of our income every year comes from individual donations. It's just amazing that people all around sit down, write a check, and send it to us.
Is there like a fundraiser time of year, or does
no,
it just kind of happens?
No, it just happens.
It just moves them, and they write a check.
The majority happen towards the end of the year. It's the Christmas season, and people want to give. But we have it all throughout the year.
And you have no official fundraiser or event bake sale?
There are organizations that will hold certain things, concerts or whatever, and donate the proceeds to us. And that's where community groups come in and are very helpful. But the largest percentage comes from the individuals. It's just amazing.
So is there a concert coming up?
No, some of the concerts are usually in the summertime. There was one Christmas concert. Santa Fe Opera came down and donated things to us. But most of the things are in the summertime.
That's very nice, that all the way from Santa Fe.
Yes. It's amazing.
I understand that the Santa Fe Opera has a close working relationship with the Placidas Artist
Series.
They do.
That's why that happened.
All right. Well, hopefully when people hear this, they will be so inclined to make a donation. How do they do that?
Well, let me explain the system we got and how it works. A lot of people bring by canned food and other foods, and donate it to us, and we're very pleased to get that. However, since we're associated with this food bank and get food at a substantial discount, if we would much rather have people give us a dollar rather than buy a dollar's worth of food and then give it to us, because of our association with a food bank, we can buy $9 worth of food for every dollar we spend. And so while we love to get the food, the canned food that you don't need, we'd much rather that you not go out and buy that food to give to us, but that you give us the money so that we can get the great discounts associated with the nationwide system that's set up to help us.
Right. As well as it makes it easier for you to manage the variety, your inventory.
Right. Exactly. Because we're a grocery store, which is a unique setting for food pantries, and we're only one of about three in the state, people can come and shop. It's client interest in what they want to get, rather than being given a box or a sack of food that somebody else has decided that's what you want. They can actually come in and shop. So we want a wide variety, and we want the things that we know that that's what our clients want to have. And our being able to buy the food enables us to make sure we have that variety and the specific things wanted.
You had said you want to have a variety of what they want versus what you want them to have. That is there a big gap there?
Well, it,
and I know what I wanted growing up and what my parents wanted me to have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we try to make sure that they have nutritious stuff, and we always have nutritious food there, from meats to fruits and vegetables. And then in addition to that, we have canned and packaged foods, which are not maybe okay and may not necessarily be the most nutritious, but our clients have a range of capabilities. Some don't have stoves, some don't have refrigerators or freezers, and so they have to be able to get some things that are packaged and they can just use them that way.
Right.
And those might not necessarily be the most nutritious things, but
that's true. That's hard to put together.
Well,
how does one become eligible to come by the Casa Rosa Food Bank, which is just next to the Placidus Presbyterian Church? I'm sure you've passed it every day.
Right. It's the pink house right on the east side of the church. You have to be a resident of Placidus, because there are food pantries in Bernalillo and Rio Rancho, several of those. And so we're serving our community of Placidus. And then you have to meet certain income guidelines, and those are established by the federal government for all food pantries, and they change every year. And the limit as to what you can make and be eligible to come to the food pantry depends on how many people are in the household, the size of the household.
Right.
So it's not that I can just say there's a figure. It's a different figure for each size household. So once you meet those are the key things to being able to shop at our food pantry.
And you get a little badge or something? Or?
No, we just register the person, and we have a form that the federal government requires that they fill out and sign. So we know who our clients are, and every time they come to shop, they sign in outside in the courtyard on a sign-in sheet, and then they are free to. We also have a waiting room where we have our community is so generous, they give us lots of donations of clothing and household goods. And we have those things in the waiting room for people to take as they need them. And we have some coffee and some morning refreshments there for them, because they shop on a Saturday morning. That's when we're open, every Saturday morning from 9 to 11. And then we call them in the order in which they signed in, and then they just go around and do their shopping on the grocery floor.
And we hasten to add that the donations of clothing is given away for free to our clients, who come in and just browse around through the clothing that's hanging there that we've put out for them and choose what they want. And so no one is charged anything for the clothing. If we get donations that a lot of people want, then we hold a drawing to see who gets it.
Right. Well, so that seems fair. So Saturday 9 to 11.
9 to 11. Every Saturday morning.
That seems like very abbreviated hours. It's because there aren't that many customers, or
it works. Originally we were open 3 hours, and it just drug out, and one person would come in around 11, and that was full. We finally narrowed it down to 9 to 11, and we process all the clients who want to come by. I mean, we were talking about 50 households.
Right.
So that's not difficult to process that many on a Saturday morning. And Saturday mornings, we do it then because there are some people who work during the week and can't come until a Saturday morning.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of all of the perishable food that you get from the Roadrunner system.
Because that's delivered on a Friday morning.
Oh, okay.
Where volunteers are always up there for Friday morning, bright and early, 7:30, 8.
Big 18-wheeler comes through.
Yeah, that's the big, huge truck that comes through. And we unload that and stock the shelves. So the fresh things are only sitting out overnight, Friday night.
Right.
And even in the summertime, we're getting fresh food from Seed to Need, which Jim may want to talk about,
okay,
too.
I'm trying to get a sense of the amount of food for 50 households. Can you... any example, like how many cantaloupes a week do you go, yeah, or how many dozen eggs? Or
the way, easiest way to think about it, I think, is that we get between 1 and 2 tons of food every Friday, and on top of that, we get the donations that people bring and leave when we're not there. They leave at a spot in the Presbyterian Church for us, and so. That's how much weight we're distributing.
1 to 2 tons.
Yeah, 1 to 2 tons. Often that's 500 pounds of frozen assorted pounds of produce and a couple hundred pounds of bread.
See?
And so it adds up very fast.
And are the selections geared to, New Mexico, Bernalillo, and you get a lot of chili and stuff?
Well, yes.
You don't get a lot of Spam or delicacies from other parts of the country.
We have... three individuals, Cheryl and I are two of the three, who take turns ordering the food. And so we have a budget that we live with, and we order the food based on what our perceived needs for the community are. So we make choices every week. They don't just bring us food. We order it,
sure,
they bring
right.
it.
And you're right. Our community does like tortillas and chilies and some more
and then
of the...
Because you're ordering it.
We order.
And as you said, as nice as it is to get cans and bags of food and all that, your money goes 9 times as far if you just give a dollar
right.
or 20.
Right.
But speaking of produce, as we were, I'd like to mention something else that's going on.
Yes.
And that is in the city of, or the village of Corrales, there is a volunteer organization of individuals who have gardens, and they're master gardeners, and they volunteer, and individuals in that community who have substantial land donate the use of the land for the purpose of growing fruits and vegetables, and these people put 5, 6, 7 acres of land into cultivation every summer, and we go down and help them. We're not master gardeners, but we're gophers.
Right.
And so we help them, and they grow a tremendous amount of very fresh fruit and vegetables. And they usually generate about 60,000 pounds of fruits and vegetables a year. And we get a substantial amount ourselves, nothing compared to that, obviously.
Sure.
But we have very, very fresh fruits and vegetables during the month of June, July, and August, and it's wonderful for our clients.
I know a couple who live kind of on the fringe of the villages who, it's an old established plot of land, lots of apple trees and stuff, mm-hmm. and they obviously can't eat them, and they just kind of let them fall, and the bears and stuff get them. Would you organize like a picking party if they called up and said, hey, we've got 10 trees full of apples?
We could do that.
So that might be a new opportunity for people
out
there.
Yes, right. We do that because Seed to Need, the organization in Corrales, does the same thing. They have a bunch of trees, and they do pick the fall up off the ground, and so we have to have a group of people to do that. And so we probably could organize something like that, but yeah, we're limited in how many hours we can get of people's times because
sure.
they're all volunteers. They're all doing it out of their own hide, and they mm-hmm. have lives of their own that they need to leave. So we try to minimize the number of hours that we take away from their other life.
True. Well, that's, Yeah, got to have balance. Yes. You can't burn out the volunteers.
But we do have villagers who stop by and drop off produce that they've grown mm-hmm. in their own gardens or fruit from the trees. So,
and Jim, you had mentioned a lot of people coming in from other parts of the country, retiring, or in a different economic position usually. But they probably also, unless they had spent a lot of time out here, think, oh, we're going to the West. It's dry. There's no trees. And here we're talking about all this produce and fruit. It really is a pretty good agricultural area that people, I guess that's another failing of our American education system.
That's why Placidas was established, because it was, that's why the settlers came here, because of the fruit trees that could grow here.
Okay. Kind of like Bernalillo is where they could grow the Sacramento wine.
Yeah, it goes way back in history.
Well, going back to 2008, when Cheryl, you started with Casa Rosa, but tell me how that happened. You saw it and said, I want to go work here.
Yeah. I didn't start the first year. I started the second year, but I know the people who did start it that first year, and there was one person in the community, Ellen Baker, who had a lot of responsibility for getting the food pantry going in the Pink House. But I think people just become aware. They hear about there is this place, and you think, well, is that someplace I could volunteer, especially if you're retired and you want to be helping people. And that's where our volunteers come from. We have a website, and we get emails from people through the website saying, I've read about it, and can we volunteer? And we ask them then to stop by on a Friday morning or a Saturday morning, see what it's about, and see if they're interested in helping.
And now might be a good time to give the website.
And the website is www.casarosafoodpantry.com.
Okay, www.casarosafoodpantry.com.
Yeah.
Are you a .com because you're not a 501?
We are a 501c3 through the church. They get the tax-exempt status. We have never set up our own separate tax-exempt status.
Do you have a budget or...
Oh, yes.
But what does it cost to keep the pantry open each year?
Well, we look at it as to our main cost item is ordering the food each week, and the board of directors sets the maximum that they want to be spent each week. And it sometimes varies based on what our funding situation is or what our clientele situation is.
Or holidays and coming up.
Well, we don't usually change that too much, even for holidays, unless we do double orders. But so right now we're spending $350 a week. That's our budget to order from food.
That's your food cost.
That's the food cost through Roadrunner Food Bank. Plus the volunteers, the certain ones who are doing the ordering, also go bulk food runs and go to places like Costco to get quantities that we can't get through Roadrunner Food Bank. But $350 is what we're spending per week.
And that's doing math quickly, which is never good for me. that equates to maybe like $2,000 retail if I were to go out and buy the equivalent amount of food at Walmart or someplace and give it to you.
Yeah.
So that's real numbers that make a lot of sense.
Right.
And so we're feeding on average 50 families a week on $350 a week.
Or how many, you said 200 some individuals.
Right. Yeah. And some of our clients have as many as 7 dependents that they're feeding on what they
get. Our largest household was 10 people in the same, all related in the same household.
So what is this Pink House, or what was it? Why was it there originally?
A property, but belonged to a family. In Placidas, an older family.
And then you had to, I guess, put in refrigeration equipment and...
Well, we have independent appliances. We didn't refrigerate the facility. It's just an old stucco building.
You didn't put in a walk-in?
No, it's not a walk-in.
We do have 4 freezers and 3 refrigerators. One of them is a large commercial refrigerator, and we were able to, through the use of a fundraiser, we were able to get these refrigerators and freezers at a substantial discount because for an organization like ours. And so we have quite a bit of storage capacity.
Right. Now, is all of the money that donated, does that go directly to Roadrunner for food, or is that used for maybe you need another hand truck?
It's our money that we collect from people that is donated to us, we manage. We decide how it's going to be used.
Okay.
And we use no more than right now, the $350 per week for food. Right. But we obviously have other costs, supplies or a dolly or
a new roof.
Utilities.
Utilities
we pay for. The church takes care of some of the aspects of the outside of the structure. We take care of the inside of it, since it is their house.
Right.
But we decide how we spend the money. But it's all related to either getting food and the supplies necessary to handle the food, or the other kinds of things that, like appliances that you right. have to have to hold the food.
So during the existence of Casa Rosa Food Pantry, 2008 till now, about 8 years.
Yeah, almost eight.
Did that right in my head.
Yes, very good. Very good.
We're proud of you.
And then Elsie was doing her own thing before that. Mm-hmm. Do you have any numbers is your clientele growing or getting smaller or staying stable?
Good question.
Yeah. At the moment, it is decreasing, and there are various factors that are causing that. It had been holding constant for the last few years, but then there's been a marked decrease this year, and we're not quite sure if there is some movement in the economy. I know some of our clients have gone on and gotten some additional education, which has enabled them to get jobs. Some are moving to other areas, perhaps for more housing opportunities, and then there's also more job opportunities, perhaps elsewhere, that they can get to more easily than up here. We're not quite sure what the reasons, but then again, it may go back up again.
Right. So it's nothing that...
It's not a major amount. Yeah. It's somewhat of a decline, but not a major.
We're not going to see it on one of the evening stock market reports where the Placidus Casa Rosa effect has taken
I don't think so.
But just like the market, we wax and wane. Yeah. We go from some weeks we only have 40 people, some weeks we have 55.
Or households, yeah.
Households, yes.
Right. Do the prices of that Roadrunner's charging you fluctuate with the market also? Because, like, I don't know, coffee can go way up or way
down.
Well,
actually, they don't know, but what happens is the availability of food changes dramatically. Yeah. For example, we really need water for many of our clients who don't have running water and no source or where they can get it. So we try to keep water on hand, and we always get that free. On the other hand, we pay for assorted meats that is frozen meat, and we sometimes have all we want, and other times we can't get it for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. So then we have to buy other things like cheese as a source of protein. So it comes and goes, but the price tends not to vary.
Yeah. I remember, I don't know, it was 15, 20 years ago, we had a neighbor who owned an Italian restaurant, and that's when cheese shot way up. And he said it was killing his food costs, and you don't realize one little component can change the whole restaurant industry.
Yeah, well, he would have been tied to having specific products. We're not. We can move to something else if we need to substitute.
Are there any food products that perhaps your clientele has requested that you either by a board decide not to, or by the regulation of, you know, Roadrunner that you can't have? Obviously, I would think alcohol.
No. Well, yeah, we don't do anything like that. Okay. No alcohol at all, no cigarettes, and we don't even allow it on the premises, on the church grounds. But, they sometimes ask for certain things, and if enough want it or need it, we'll try to get it, even if we go do bulk food runs at, say, Costco. There's not been a problem with... things that they want that we can't provide, aside from those things you just mentioned that we can't do.
Right.
Yeah.
And no health items, no diapers.
Sometimes we can get those through Roadrunner Food Bank. They sometimes have those items on. And that depends on what clientele we have. We sometimes need baby items, and then we sometimes don't when the people have moved away or the children have grown up.
Interestingly enough, we never get diapers for children. We only, when we get them, they're only for adults.
Yeah, right. That's a different issue.
Yes. That's a different food bank, I guess. But there are, senior services in the county which do help with that.
There are.
Which is good to know.
And we try to refer them there when they need something like that.
Although our conversation is about the Casa Rosa, food pantry, I still can't help but wonder, we talked about the great abundance of wealth we have here, I mean, we're not one percenters, but everyone's doing pretty well for the most part. They're not only people who need the food pantry, they're people who don't have running water.
They don't have running water. Some of them don't have any kind of heat. And we try to provide a lot of blankets and coats for those people.
But there's got to be another organization that can help with that.
Well, we often get questions, especially about medical things, for example. Mm-hmm. And we're limited in what we can do there, but we do have information posted on our walls that tell them the organizations that are available that might be able to help them. And so that works pretty well, except a number of our clients have no transportation resources, so they're limited. And many of them have a lifestyle that doesn't take them to dentists, for example.
Right.
And so we provide information, and periodically we get people who from the county come by and want to sit down while we're distributing food and talk to our clients about the services that they have available. So we do make that available to them.
Right. Are these generally just people who this is kind of the community they grew up in and it's just generational, or do we have psychological, mental, issues?
Yes.
All of the
yes.
above.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we have some clients who don't have a very stable lifestyle, and we have some who have lived here most of their life, and many of them are older individuals who are trying to live on very, very small amount of money, and so we're very helpful to them, and they're very stable clientele. We do get some people who come and go and who are younger. About not this winter, but last winter, for example, we had a young woman come by begging for food. She wasn't eligible because she wasn't in the Placidas area, but she was running from an abusive husband, and she had two little kids, and it was winter and cold, and she came pleading for food. Obviously, we don't turn people away in those circumstances.
Right.
We gave her all the blankets and quickly servable food that she wanted, and she went away. We never saw her again, but that happens periodically, but it's not common.
Is there a shelter that they can be referred to?
There are shelters, yes.
Okay. So, and I wonder, you know, of the 50 households approximately, you know, the ones who where the at least one person in the household does have a psychological issue that could be treated, you know, personality disorder or whatever, if they had just were able to get their some kind of medication for that, their life could turn around. Are there visiting doctors or clinics?
No, but there are places where they can go for that kind of help, and a lot of them have medications. That doesn't mean they always remember or want to keep taking them.
Sure.
And so you can only do so much. They have to cooperate and help with the remedies.
Right. So I guess what I'm getting at, Cheryl, is the Casa Rosa Food Pantry's mission is to be a food pantry.
Yes,
but you
it
do
is.
Have the resources.
We refer. We
right. And it's a small enough community that I'm sure you know everybody.
Yes.
And you know who needs more than food, and you can kind of point them in the right direction.
Right. That's, yes.
So that makes it even more cool.
We do know our clientele because
yes.
they come week after week, and we know them by first and last name, and we talk to them, and we're friends. And for the most part, periodically we get people who don't come by very often, but they are registered clients. And so we have to check and see that they're currently registered. They're required to register again every July. And so it's a nice environment that we live in.
What about a person or a family who they're there every Saturday, past 5 years, then you don't see them for a month? Do you do a door check or something?
Well, we have volunteers. Some of our volunteers are also clients, and they're longtime residents of the village, and they very much know the clients better than some of us who haven't lived in the village. And they will quickly say, well, we haven't seen so-and-so this week or last week. I'm going to stop by their house on the way home and see what's happening, or I'm going to give them a call and see if I can put together a box and take it to them. So we try to take care of those that are our long-term kind of clients like that we miss when they don't show up. We know there's something wrong.
Right. So have I overlooked something? Something you would like to say?
Well, I'd like to just spend a second talking about how our food pantry is different than most.
Okay.
Most, the standard model for food pantries is that they get food, they put together, if they know they're going to have 100 clients, they put together 100 sacks of food, and people will march by, and if they're eligible, they get one of the sacks of food. We don't do that because we want our clients to have more control over what they get. So we're organized as a grocery store. They come through and they are given a carrier that they can fill up with food, and that the size of the carrier they get depends on the number of dependents they have. And we also have to kind of control to see that people don't abuse it. Most people won't, but there's always a few that will.
Sure.
And so we have our volunteers stationed around to help people and to see that they don't take more than they're entitled to. That's a very different model. Roadrunner Food Bank loves our model, and they're trying to get other organizations to try to use it. The thing about it is it requires a substantially larger number of volunteers, and they have to be trained. And so that's the downside of our grocery store model, but we have lots of volunteers. Just like we have a lot of generous donors, we have a lot of individuals who want to talk about giving but actually do it too. And so we have substantial number of volunteers, but oh, by the way, we always could use more.
Right.
Well, and we have some volunteers will move away, or they get involved in other things and they're no longer volunteering. But we've had a steady stable of about 30 volunteers over the years. It's amazing how many.
And at any, like right now, you have 35 people.
Well, it's about, 30 to 35. It just, there always is, even though some people are coming and going. So we can always use new volunteers. And our board comes from our volunteers. So that aspect of running Roadrunner Food Bank, we really would appreciate. But we appreciate anybody who wants to stop by. And the other thing I wanted to mention was that as far as donations go, we're only there on Friday mornings early and Saturday mornings. But if people want to donate any kind of clothes or household goods or some food items, the church has, when the ministry secretary is there from 9 to 1 every day, Monday through Friday, and then the doors are open and there are bins right inside the door that are labeled for Casa Rosa, so people can take donations there. They don't have to just try to come by when Casa Rosa is open.
Right. So. And I'm... You triggered something with me, Cheryl. Donations of food or money or clothing. We were talking about that the money goes a lot further for food than I can do. Not true of the clothing.
Well, yes. We rely on the donations from the community for clothing or for household goods.
There's no clothing pantry to buy from.
We don't spend a penny on clothing, but we get a lot of donations. The other thing we do that fits in that same category is we give away a lot of dog food and cat food because many of our clients have pets. We don't spend a penny on that, though. Organizations that sell dog food and cat food, if they have a broken bag, they can't sell it.
Right.
They donate it to us, and so we have an individual who goes around and collects it for free. And then we pass it out. So,
but that's not something that you normally buy as part of your...
We never spend a penny on animal food.
So although you prefer money so you go buy food, you do want dog food, pet food, maybe bird food.
Yes,
Just ferret food.
Right.
Hopefully not.
There's a limit.
Exactly. Other than the great story of Placidus once again being a great place with great people, the whole concept of the dollar versus the food, my mind has always been when there's a food drive, you're giving them food. And often we'll be down at one of the grocery stores and they'll have, 10 pounds of potatoes.
Yes.
Two for one. So we always say, well, we'll buy one for us and we'll buy one for Casa Rosa, not realizing that $1.50 would have been turned into 14 if I had just donated
that's
true.
So that's a whole different mindset.
We don't want to tell what people what to do, but we'd certainly like them to be aware of that situation.
Get the biggest bang for your buck.
It's not unlike what Red Cross goes through when there are emergencies and people want to bring blankets or whatever, and they say, please, give us the money because we know exactly what items we need for this emergency, and it's easier for us to handle that than to try to be transporting, especially on, to another country,
or
all
maybe
these
a little blood.
Yeah. So it's not unlike that. That
interesting.
Model. So,
well, this has been delightful. I hope everyone listening has learned something new about an organization that you may know a little bit about or nothing other than it's the pink building next to the Placidas Presbyterian Community Church. But we're talking about Casa Rosa Food Pantry. The best way to get to you all is CasaRosaFoodPantry.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or come by.
Even if you just put a search in for Casa Rosa Food Pantry in Placidas, New Mexico,
right.
It'll come up.
And through the website, you can email.
You can
get
email.
Phone numbers. Make a donation
you can
through the website.
You can donate by check or by even credit card on the website.
It's a marvelous time
it
we're living in.
It is a marvelous time.
And if you'd like to get involved, it's not a 40-hour a week job, but there are things that need to be done.
And you can contact us again by the email. And say, I'm interested, what do I do? And then we get back to the person. Or drop by on a Friday morning early or a Saturday morning. And one
How
of us
How early is early for you?
Well, the Roadrunner Food Bank truck can come as early as 7, 7:30, 8.
Or as late as 11:30. So,
yeah. Right.
But lately,
bring a deck of cards.
Yeah, lately it's been very early and very cold.
Yes. Well, it keeps the food fresh.
It does. It does.
Well, Cheryl Cloud, Jim Harris of Casa Rosa Food Pantry, this has been a conversation with Matthew Bronson on KUPR Radio, Placitas, New Mexico. So until next time, thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.